Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Jeez, Brett Rogers, you give someone who has to introduce you a hell of a difficult time, because it's almost like take everything that can be done in a lifetime, and Brett's probably done that, and that's maybe the best way to introduce you.
Wow, I really like that.
I mean, from swimming, like a successful swimmer, then you were a masseuse, then you were, you know, then you were a location scout, you're a model, you ran a restaurant. It's difficult to kind of,
Yeah, I find it very difficult to make up my mind, obviously. I just say yes. Can you do this? Yes, I can do it.
But there is such a power line in the stuff that they send through around you. It says here, throughout all this time, and this is after like a bio that goes on for pages and pages about clothing companies that you started and modeling that you've done and everything. But it says, this is such a powerful line, throughout all this time, Rogers maintains his mission of being in control of his decision-making almost every step of the way, never beating to anyone else's drum but his own, and long may it last. I think that's a really powerful line, Nat.
I haven't read that, actually. That's really cool. I think it's true. I think that my bank balance reflects that. You know, I always kind of, I think I stand up for the principles that I believe in that are important. I don't betray those, whether they're personal or political or, you know, any other. I like to do things the right way as far as I'm concerned. And maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, you've got to have your own integrity, I guess.
Because do you know that it's probably 90% of the world that isn't able to get that right? That, in fact, it's probably even more, where people, you know, their life is a product of what they think society wants from them.
I think you're right. It's super difficult to go along that path. I think I was lucky to have the parents that I had who didn't kind of pressurize me into doing things that they wanted me to do. I mean, I should have studied harder. I should have done a bunch of things better, but I did things that I wanted to do, and I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky to have succeeded to a degree in the things that I enjoy doing. So, I mean, if people enjoy things, they should just do them, as long as nobody gets hurt, I think.
Do you feel like you have a life philosophy, or you're building a life philosophy?
I think it's constantly evolving. I never know. I have ideas of what my life philosophy is, but as I go along, it changes, it adapts, people talk to me and I learn from them, or I react in a certain way and I think that that's not the right way of doing things. I try to be conscious all the time of other people's opinions, because, you know, I don't know everything, you don't know everything, and other people just might change your mind. They just might give you something that's smart enough to wake you up a little bit more, and then your own philosophy changes, and hopefully your own, you know, the way you speak to people changes.
What feedback have you gotten from your exes? That's always a good indication of who someone is. What do the exes say about you?
Most of them dig me, okay. I think. Most. It's one or two that perhaps don't.
Because I think it's difficult to... A guy like you just strikes me as it would be difficult to put you in a box. And I'm not so sure it would be easy to know where one stands with you as well, because you seem pretty... Just from that, you know, you were standing in on Worldwide Trending there. And it's kind of like you're super funny and super quirky, but then also you look like you are a very deeply emotive human being.
I appreciate that. That's kind of something that I am trying to foster. I am far too emotional and far too I have far too much empathy. I think maybe that's why I make jokes about puppies and stuff, because if I actually think about those things, it's far too hard to even consider. You were saying, sorry, I've given you blank space.
No, it's cool.
What was the question again? Cool. The end of the question was interesting.
Well, there is no question. It's kind of just with talking. at some point we'll get around to this TV show of yours, but you are at the center of it. And essentially it seems like the show is this amazing reflection of who you are.
Yeah, I think I got super lucky. That's just what happened, man. I've been in food my whole life. I enjoy drinking, and I have tattoos. And I just got lucky. A person met me who knew me at a restaurant that I used to frequent, and said, "Hey, this guy could be good for the show." And it does feel like a culmination of my life. I think there's things missing, but you can't really put those on TV. Mm. You can put music on TV, but you can't put sex, because then it would be the perfect show. Food Boost to sex and music. So I just got lucky. I've been doing my life, you know, and suddenly this landed in my lap, and I was able to express myself in a way that I wanted to do it. I think they wanted me to be a bit mean. They wanted me to be a bit aggressive, because that's who they thought I was. Mm. And then after shooting the pilots, I could see there was confusion. I could see there was like, but this is not what we were aiming for. This is not what we expected. And I think that in the long run, that's been highly beneficial to the program, considering the amount of negative social media I get. I don't get a lot, but I get enough. And
wow, what the hell? What are people saying? What could they possibly find wrong?
Oh, I've got some beauties out there. This one lady said, "I look like a Polsmore reject. God gave you a perfect body and you've turned it into a comic. I'm sure you'll find."
Geez.
Yeah, I get all sorts of awesome things like that. I got my favorite one was sis. That's all it was.
It seems like you do care, though, what people think.
I do care because I represent something. And I want to change what I represent to them. So, you know, if they see me and they see the nose ring and they see the tattoos and they see the way I dress and they think, oh, there's a hard-ass, you know, mean tattooed guy, I don't want them to see that. I want them to learn that that's not the way you look at people. You don't look at them the way they dress and the way they look and decide what kind of human being they are, because they are that kind of human being. They are the shitty person. And I don't want that to happen. I want to show that the tattooed community, I mean, I'm representing food, booze, and tattoos, but in this case, the hate is from the tattoos. I want people to learn that there's a whole array of people out there who are really good people, and generally the heavily tattooed community are pretty rad.
Are you ever frustrated at the fact that you can't just not care about stuff, or you can't overthink something? Because it seems like you think about stuff a hell of a lot. Does it ever frustrate you that you can't just make a decision without thinking what the deeper meaning of it is, or get a tattoo that doesn't have a meaning to you?
Most of my tattoos don't have meanings.
Okay, so they don't have meaning. But you get what I'm trying to say.
To a degree, yes. It would be easier to not feel so much. But that's who I am. And I like to have opinions, and I like to think things through. A lot of people I talk to tell me I just need to calm down a little bit when I'm talking about emotive issues. But hell, man, somebody's got to talk. Somebody's got to say stuff. Somebody's got to stand up and not let silent bullshit go by. You know, people need to know what's happening. And I'm surrounded by incredible people, incredibly intelligent friends who are constantly challenging that, who are constantly saying, there's one person in particular, Jasmine Asfat, who's my best friend, and she opened up a cafe about 6 years ago called Love and Revolution, which turned into one of the most beautiful hubs of political and revolutionary discourse. And I went in there like a really nice guy who was just a little white liberal. But I didn't know things. I didn't know that things that I was saying and things that I was doing were problematic in our country. And to have people like that around you to educate you and to tell you and to be open to those things. For somebody to say to you, hey, man, like, you can't say shit like that. That's not cool. You don't know it's not cool, but it's not. And you need to be open to people saying those kind of things. And I think especially in this country, we need to be able to listen a lot more. We don't listen to what people are saying. We don't listen to people like Julius Malema because we get all angry because of, you know, some crazy shit that he does say. But if you really read what he's saying, he's a smart guy. He's a really smart guy, and he's got good ideas. And we just, like, we shut things down because they are offensive to us immediately, and then we put up our walls, and I don't want to do that.
What's been the hardest thing in the life of Brett Rogers? And in retrospect, how did it turn out to be a good thing if it did?
The hardest thing about the life of Brett Rogers... I'm lazy, and I wish I wasn't lazy, but I am. All these things that come in my bio, it sounds very impressive, but, you know, follow through has been a problem for me, and I don't want that to be a problem. I want to follow through. I want the shit that I do to go ahead and make difference and make something cool. I want to be successful. I want to have a decent bank balance. I want to buy the Audi. But that's not the goal. And I suppose that's my problem, is that the goal is not the money.
Hmm.
So because the goal is not the money, I'm not interested in chasing it. So I'm interested in doing and creating cool things.
Well, I'm glad you managed to get a TV show out. So that's you doing something there. You managed to full season. Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the show for a second. Thursdays, 9 p.m. on SABC3. I cannot believe in the course of 45 days, it says here you got 6 new tattoos while recording this show.
Yeah. The last one halfway through it, I had really bad fever. Because
tattoos, I mean, you can't just get them in succession, right?
Trauma, man. I hate it. I hate it. I actually got a new tattoo just the other day, which was actually a really, really gentle tattoo from Tamar Thorne, who's actually on the show tomorrow. She's amazing. But yeah, the trauma is immense. And so after all that time, I just like broke down. Didn't have a tattoo for a while after that.
Putting your body through that.
Yeah, I mean, I was working for that show, huh?
Yeah,
drinking, eating, getting tattoos.
It's very hard.
Life is hard.
Does it ever take the joy out of it when you have to get the shot?
Have to get...
Does it sterilize the experience?
Do you mean like shooting the show and having cameras around me?
Yeah.
Well, you cannot believe how talented the people around me were. It was amazing.
You really have to redo everything.
We did it a couple of times and I really hated it. And I thought it was unnecessary because I thought we were getting really good stuff. And so after a while, because the way I like to interview people is kind of similar to yours, perhaps, where it's just like you start talking and then see where it goes. And I wanted my guests to be comfortable. And we had some situations where the guests said something super interesting and they didn't get the shots and there'd be interruptions. And we just decided like, that's a bad idea. Let's just let it flow and,
let it be natural.
Yeah. And I mean, the director Nick Hester is phenomenal. And, the two camera people, Robo Wilson and Benita Flock, they're so creative, they're so brilliant, and so I really had to step up my game, especially considering it was my first job. You know, I really needed to wake up, but they were so supportive, and yeah, it was so no repeats, not many repeats anyway.
I think it's really cool. I forgot now, I did make a note in Worldwide Trending that we were supposed to pick up this interview with you speaking about erections, and we didn't do that. Any final words before we wrap this up on that?
Well, mostly I was very disappointed that you didn't do that. And
so I should have started the interview with that. Okay, sorry.
You should have started with boners. You don't end with a boner, dude.
Yeah, okay.
Jeez, what kind of host are you?
But you do look like a guy that has a lot of sex. I mean, that might be a little... Because you've been in the office before, and when I've walked in, the conversation around the table has been in this lane of like, you know, this dude looks like he's has a lot of sex.
That's so weird that you say that, man. I had a guy in the bar the other day. It was
sexually exploratory.
Yeah, cool. That'll work with.
Yeah.
That'll work with. I'm not a whore. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how do we get here?
I don't know. Well, you said we should speak about erections.
That's my fault.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, sure. I guess I'm sexually exploratory. I like all things. I like exploratory all things. Art, music, sex. Maybe not so much drugs. Yeah, I like to explore things.
If there was one piece of advice you could give everyone in the world and they had to embody it in their life, what would it be?
Don't do things you don't want to do. That's it.
I dig it. Very, very cool. It's at Brr Rogers, everywhere on social media. That's B-R-R Rogers. And of course, on SABC3, the show is called Food, Booze and Tattoos Thursdays at 9 p.m. Thank you very much for coming around. I'm still not entirely sure who you are, but I think that's a good thing because it means that you can't be boxed, which is dope.
Thank you, Ari. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for hanging out. Producer Kat, we're just about to wrap this up. Have I forgotten anything? Did we get through everything on our checklist for this afternoon? Did we do okay?
Yep.
Do you feel like you... Was that an okay chat with Brett?
You could have done better. No, I'm kidding. It was good.
We could have. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
You'll come back.
Yeah, we'll just have to get you back for season 2. That's all. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.